I'd just like to introduce Lord Henley. Lord Henley is the Parliamentary Undersecretary for DEFRA, so he follows in the Lords, so he follows all the DEFRA portfolio, but in particular and relevant to this conference is the sustainable consumption and production policy that is responsible for, as well as other policy which are relevant to this conference, such as environmental regulation, air quality, and climate change adaptation. Before this current portfolio, Lord Henley entered the Lords in 1977, held a number of front bench ministerial posts, including social security, employment, defense, and education. So I give you Lord Henley. Thank you.
David, thank you. David, thank you very much indeed. We were just trying to remove that project video, project computer from the screen, but I'm not sure, perhaps you're better at technology than I am. Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed, and welcome to the United Kingdom. And we are delighted here in the UK to see so many of you and also to be hosting this event. And we're delighted also to see how many different nations are represented here. Now, it's very easy to say that climate change is one of the gravest threats that we face today, and it's a challenge we can only meet by working together globally to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And it's a challenge that also, we have to remember, produces opportunities, and exploiting those opportunities is necessary for economic recovery and for sustainable long-term growth. 6 years ago, the global carbon market was virtually non-existent. Last year, World Bank estimates put that market at over $140 billion. That's a pretty big sum by any way of speaking. And the need for more sustainable and energy-efficient products is urgent. The International Energy Agency has projected that energy efficiency improvements will make the single largest contribution to the goal of halving global energy-related CO2 emissions by 2050. So that means designers, manufacturers, suppliers, and retailers all have a vital part to play in that. And minimum efficiency standards are a vital tool in improving product efficiency, and building a green, low-carbon economy. Now, within the EU single market, these standards are set through the Eco-Design Directive. Standards for household and commercial lighting, for televisions, for set-top boxes, for fridges, for freezers, industrial motors, and on limiting standby power consumption have all been set by the EU. And we estimate that by 2020, those standards will be saving something around 27 million tonnes of CO2 each year and delivering some £850 million of savings, mostly on consumers and energy users, consumers and business energy bills. Now, once standards are set for other products, and labelling has been developed for white goods and televisions, there will be even more savings to be made. But in order to be certain that those benefits will be realised, we need ways of ensuring that products do actually comply with those standards. There's no point having them unless people comply. In the UK, a product testing exercise carried out by my department, DEFRA, Department for Environment, Food and Rural Affairs, last year, found that the rate of non-compliance with existing energy efficiency regulations was at least 15%, and for some products, possibly 25% or even higher. Now, that rate of non-compliance could risk as much as a quarter of the projected benefits that the standards will put in place, and there's projected benefits that we want to see. And research, I think, in other countries has uncovered fairly similar figures. Now, that is not acceptable. It's not acceptable to the consumers who are buying the products, nor is it acceptable to the businesses who are buying them and using them. And consumers who are choosing the most efficient products to either save money or reduce their emissions, or both, deserve to be 100% sure that the product that they're buying delivers the standard that that product promises. Businesses, whether they be manufacturers, retailers, or importers, and need to be sure that they are competing in a fair market and that others are not gaining an advantage by selling cheaper, substandard products. And businesses that operate fairly need to be protected from those who are not prepared to operate fairly. The United Kingdom government does not believe that the heavy-handed imposing of rules and regulations from above is necessarily the best way of changing people's behaviour. Instead, what we want to do is encourage, support, and enable people to make better choices for themselves. And underpinning all our work on compliance is a dedication to awareness raising and effective communication between the regulators and business. And we're also committed to risk-based enforcement. That is, to focus any of our enforcement activities on those most likely to merit them and not burden those fairly operating businesses unnecessarily. So we believe that most businesses do want to comply. I said it was between 15 and 25% that weren't. And the focus is very much on helping business to achieve that compliance. If I can give you just one example, a recent exercise was conducted by our enforcement body, that's the National Measurement Office, to evaluate the energy efficiency claims made on lamps available through major high street retailers. The results showed that around 5% of the check lamps were mislabeled, i.e. they weren't telling the proper story. But the reasons for this mislabeling were easy to resolve. In some cases, the energy classes had been wrongly calculated, and in others, the wrong label was accidentally put on that particular product. And when informed of the findings by the National Measurement Office, all the companies readily agreed to fix the mistakes and relabel the products to bring them back into compliance. And we're continuing to look at how we can further improve our compliance regime. Now, of course, there is still need for penalties for the frequent offenders, for the obvious offenders, and for those who are deliberately setting out to break the rules. For example, only a few weeks ago, our Trading Standards Office in Northampton successfully prosecuted an importer of fridges, which were labelled with an A-star energy rating. But when three of them were tested, they were E, F, and E, respectively. I think that's quite a contrast. The energy consumption was, on average, some 77% higher than that shown on the label, and that obviously would represent a very significant difference to the individual customer's electricity bill. So on that occasion, prosecution was the right path to follow. And we're currently considering the responses to a public consultation on the possible introduction of a new range of civil sanctions, which include enforcement notices, and for the worst cases, monetary penalties, which reflect the harm caused to consumers and the environment. Now, I've been talking about the United Kingdom's national work. In today's marketplace, products are both manufactured and traded globally. Therefore, only collaboration on a global scale can ensure that we gain benefits from more efficient products and equipment. And the fact that so many of you have travelled from all over the world today proves that this is widely understood. Collaborating internationally not only avoids the wasted cost of duplicated activity, but ensures that there are no safe havens for suppliers of non-compliant products. And it will be the United Kingdom government will push for the European Union to demonstrate leadership in tackling environmental climate change, and this includes setting the appropriate energy performance standards for all those key products. The EU already has an official forum for sharing compliance knowledge and expertise, and we're working together on strengthening our compliance regimes. The United Kingdom, as many of you will know, chairs the Administrative Cooperative Group, what we refer to as ADCO, for market surveillance of eco-design. And the ADCO is attended by 30 national enforcement authorities in the EU and the European Economic Area. And enforcement authorities are using this forum to agree the enforcement of the regulations, to share best practice, and to exchange intelligence on products, to share plans for product testing, and to work towards a proposal for a joint testing program, which will make good use of limited resources. And all of this helps align and strengthen market surveillance across the EU. Now, I would say that ADCO's experiences offer a good example of what can be achieved internationally, not just at the EU level, but wider afield than that. And so we move on to what is there to do, this is the question I want to ask, at a global level to improve monitoring, verification, and enforcement. And I'd like all of us at this conference and elsewhere to share best practice on how to ensure compliance and so deliver greater benefits from energy efficiency standards. And I'd also like to see a greater sharing of intelligence between the enforcement agencies on products that are globally traded and do not meet the claims that they make. And I'd hope, certainly, that by the end of this conference, we'll be much closer to a shared understanding of the successes and challenges ahead. And I look forward to hearing from David and from other officials in my department the conclusions that you've all reached this week and to the future actions that you'd like to see made by governments and by international bodies and the improvements that can be made and set in motion by this conference. Again, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all very much for attending. I appreciate that many of you have travelled a long way, and for many of you, it's been a long day. And I'm told that after this, you can move on next door where there are refreshments and a reception waiting for you. I think you've done a lot so far today, and I think that's what you deserve. I hope you can continue the momentum up for the rest of the conference. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much indeed.